Once again, as we always like to say, if you are a guest, welcome to Kingdom Church. This is who we are. And this morning, for the next about 15 minutes that I am going to shoot to do this in, we're continuing in our journey through the book of Colossians. If you didn't, you can grab one of these in the back, or James will be walking around. We'll get this to you. We were just taking it verse by verse and looking at what Paul wrote in this book. And as just a reminder, and it kind of infers just something I want to speak on briefly, is that the reason why Paul writes this letter is because there had been issues that had come into the church of Colossae that was these false gospels and these false teachings that were causing all these confusions. So Paul writes this letter to say, hey, like, I'm aware that there's these false ideas that are being presented and that are coming in, but I'm writing this to remind you of what the gospel is. I'm writing this to remind you of who Jesus is. So what I want to do, I had a lot planned, but I'm going to make this very simple. Is in the verses that we're going to go through of chapter 1, verse 21 through chapter 2, verse 15, there is a single thread that Paul weaves into all of these verses. And he keeps returning to the same theme, even though he talks about different things and the idea of suffering for the sake of Christ and being able to rejoice in suffering. And he talks about the idea of how we were once alienated and how we have now been reconciled. And he talks about how unity within the church is necessary for us to understand Christ. And though Paul hits on all these various topics, the one thing that he returns to again and again and again is Jesus. And so for those in the back, we're going to jump right to the last verses that are all bolded, and I'm going to go through those one by one. So if you have your Bible, you have your booklet, I'm going to read it, and then we're all going to walk through this thread that Paul weaves throughout the whole thing. So verses 21 to 23. Paul says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." And so here Paul references the idea of enduring to the end, of having a faith that endures, of having a faith that remains, of having a faith that stays to the end. But Paul's emphasis here is that we have been reconciled through Christ. That there is this chasm that exists between us and God, that has separated, that has alienated us from God. And because we are not able to bridge that gap, because we are not able to cross that chasm, Jesus came in human flesh and died for us so that he could bridge the gap to bring us into right relationship with God. But it was only done through Jesus Christ. Verses 24 to 29, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, to them, but God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. And here Paul writes of a mystery, a mystery that was not known by the nation of Israel, a mystery of a Messiah that would come that the prophets wrote about, but the mystery that they were not aware of in the past generations in the nation of Israel was that the salvation that God was going to offer was going to be extended to all people, to all nations, of every tribe, of every tongue, that God's plan of salvation was going to be opened up to everyone. It was a mystery of a Messiah who comes not just to live among his people, but a Messiah that comes to live within them. And then chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith. And here Paul is talking about that us as the church, that we are able to understand who Christ is when we live within unity in the church. That when we are knit together in love, that knitting together, that unity that we live within is what brings about the understanding of who Christ is. And Paul writes addressing this, the pursuit of man to attain knowledge and wisdom, this pursuit to grasp an understanding of an eternal and infinite God. And Paul writes that the riches of knowledge and wisdom that we pursue, that we strive after, is found only in the person of Christ. And that the mysteries of God that we are trying to grasp at and trying to understand have been revealed in Christ, the visible image of the invisible God. In verses 6 through 8, Paul says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And so here Paul looks to Jesus as the one whom we walk in, the one that we root ourselves in, and the one that we build ourselves up into. For Jesus is the one who sanctifies. He is the one who sets us apart. He is the one who makes us holy. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And what Paul does here that I do want to mention, that Paul connects the dot to that I want to make sure that we understand, is that a saving faith is not something that just happens in a momentary decision to accept Jesus, but is demonstrated in a lifelong devotion to Christ. That is why in chapter 1 and in verse 22, Paul says that if you continue in the faith, if you remain firm and steadfast, if you do not shift away from the gospel. And it's reminiscent of what Jesus says in Matthew 24, that those who endure to the end, they will be saved. Because we are saved in a moment when we accept Jesus by faith through grace, but it is a faith that we live out and are sanctified as we walk in and root ourselves in Christ. And then we come to verses 9 through 15. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Jesus is fully God and he is fully man. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, Christ. And so what I want you to know in this much shortened idea of what I had this morning, though Paul is hitting on so many different ideas and so many different themes and so many different aspects of our faith, everything for Paul comes back to and rests in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything rests in Jesus. And I don't have time to get into all of it this morning. But I just want to pose this for anybody in the room who may be unsure about all of this, who may be unsure about Jesus, who may be unsure about Christianity, who may be unsure about the church. I just want to offer some thoughts. Historical records in the Bible and outside of the Bible all testify that Jesus really existed. The testimonies of the four gospel writers, the testimonies of all the disciples who were willing to lay down their life for Christ, the testimony of Paul, who was once a Pharisee, once a persecutor of Jesus, who changed his life and would eventually be willing to suffer for the same Jesus that he was persecuting, all testify that Jesus rose from the dead. Not as a story, not as an idea, but as historical fact. And so the question that I would leave us with, in Paul's emphasis on the person of Jesus all throughout Colossians, is what are we doing with Jesus? Maybe you've professed faith and you've accepted Jesus and said a prayer one time, but are you walking in and rooting yourself in Christ? Are you allowing Jesus to sanctify you, to make you holy, to make you blameless? Or I worry sometimes that the struggle that we have is that we try to hold on to Jesus and hold on to everything else. And that we can be willing to entertain our sin and be willing to excuse all these things while we still try to hold on to Jesus. So if you've professed your faith in Christ, are you walking in him? If you have never accepted Jesus, I could walk through the evidence with you and the historical facts and all these different things, and I could explain to you how Paul's life in and of itself provides evidence that Jesus really rose from the dead, proving who he was, the Son of God, ascended to the right hand of the Father, who is one day coming back. I could walk through all those things with you. But you are left with the same question of what will you do with Jesus. For some of us, and especially with what's happened this morning, for those who have professed Christ, sometimes we can look for encounters and experiences with the presence of God, believing that will be our answer. And though Christ's presence is sufficient, I want to remind us that you can experience Christ but still refuse to submit to him. Because the Pharisees all witnessed Jesus heal people. They witnessed Jesus do miracles and yet never believed in him. Judas walked with and lived with Jesus for years, still betrayed him. What are we going to do with Jesus? Because we either live for him, walk in him, surrender to him, or we do something else. So this morning, I just want to leave us all with that question. What are you doing with Jesus? So I just want to, just to end, I just want to pray, and you can stay in your seats. But I just want to pray. And I just want to ask that as I pray this, I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I surrendered to Christ? Am I walking in and rooting myself in the person of Jesus? Or maybe you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. What are you doing with Jesus? Let me pray. God, I thank you for every person in this room. And God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. And God, I pray that in a room of this many people, God, we may find ourselves in different circumstances, in different seasons, God, in different situations. And some of us may be dealing with different things, but God, I pray that wherever we find ourselves, that you would enable us, God, to surrender and submit our lives to you. That we'd be able, Lord God, to walk and to root to build ourselves in you alone. And God, I pray right now, God, for any person in this room who has not accepted you as Lord and as Savior. God, I pray that they would feel the conviction of your spirit moving upon their heart. That they would sense your spirit drawing them. And God, I pray that they would confess you as Lord and Savior. But God, I pray that as we walk out of this building this morning, I pray that we would all have an answer to the question of what are we doing with Jesus? God, I thank you. And I pray all this in your name. Amen. And amen. Just one quick thing. If you haven't, but you want to ask questions or know what it means to actually accept Jesus, please come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Can we also give it up for Miss Pam? Literally just... She's just rolling with it. Appreciate that. We love you guys. I believe we have cupcakes. Yeah, so because of it's our graduation Sunday, there are cupcakes. Eat a bunch of cupcakes. If you are new and you're you want more information, curious about the church, join us at Open House tonight. But otherwise, love you all, and we will see you. next week.